And if it just cuts us off anyway and breaks, we'll just post last night's debauchery for the show instead of the actual show. I think the listeners would like that. There's a quote in there somewhere about it's Air. And he's like, C4's just here recording us all, waiting for the perfect clip, and then he's going to be all, peace, see ya. And essentially, that's what I was there for. I was there to have a good time, too, but that's why I had the recorder going and everything. So hopefully we're going to have some cool little clips from that and everything.
People are talking to me, yeah. And I don't know what's going on. And then this is the second time that's ever thrown up, and it's because of fucking Ribo. No, it's when you pass out, then you know you're done. And I haven't passed out yet. And if you do pass out, someone has to pour a shot down your mouth before you get fucked. Do it like a man. Get fucked and enjoy it.
Yeah, he's cool. I got a boyfriend already, yeah, and, like, what are you guys trying to do?
Fuck him.
I mean, yeah. What kind of homosexual is it? Come over when you're drunk. I mean, that's, that's the most faggot.
Dump
gay shit I've ever heard.
And call me.
This is Games and More Entertainment Radio.
I'm C4.
And I'm Koba.
I played so much of that game, it was nuts.
If it's got EA on it, I'm not gonna buy it.
Headshot.
Okay, I don't even know what day it is.
Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games and More Entertainment Radio. Games.
Fuck this game. I'm just going to unsell it right there. Like, it's so easy. If I'm drunk and I've never played this character and I get 12 consecutive kills in a random PvP, something is wrong.
It's wow. I mean, what do you want, dude? All you got to do is just, like, hit the button and you win.
Games and More Entertainment Radio, episode 127. I'm C4.
And I'm Kobar.
It is July 23rd, 2006. The website is hwhq.com. The email is c4.gameradio@gmail.com. And you can join us on IRC at irc.oftc.net. Pound Gamer, that's the channel. Now, I imagine I'm going to put some of last night's drunken debauchery into the intro, and maybe a little clip here and there, or maybe in the outro, so I apologize for pointing out that some of us act like jackasses when we're drinking and having a good time, and I'm sure some of you guys are going to be really pissed and never invite me to TeamSpeak again. That was a lot of fun. Which kind of blew for the show, though, because when I came home from work yesterday, the plan was to get all kinds of shit done for the show.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up getting wasted on TeamSpeak and talking with these guys for hours. Half the IRC channel decided to jump into TeamSpeak and fuck around, which was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. But not fun to listen to again to go search through clips for. I was like, oh, God, these guys are drunk. Oh, boy. But so anyway, the point of that little thing there was that this was supposed to be the Sedega / like Linux gaming episode. I mean, that was ideally going to be this week.
Right.
And I had a lot of things planned because I want to make sure that it goes down just like perfectly smooth. And it just didn't come together because like the amount of work that I have to do that I want to do to make that show like actually really kick ass is just like astronomical. Because
mm-hmm.
it's actually going to involve the forum a little bit too. And I want all that ready to go when the show hits. And also, if we can, a very special guest, which we're kind of working on too. This is our dry run of using Audacity, the fucking beta version, the 1.3, to see if this actually... So, you might not even hear this, so... This may never get to your ears if it crashes, and it's already acting fucking strange as all hell.
But it's not acting any weirder.
Yeah, it does have its own quirks in Windows, too.
Yeah.
You know, at least this actually seems to keep pace with us, though.
Mm-hmm.
The other one does seem to go in huge chunks. I don't know. It's kind of funky, but we shall see. Now, something I need to do a little correction for. Now, okay, last week we were talking about the DS Lite plug and how it's just like the Nintendo Game Boy Micro plug.
Right.
Now, I've seen pictures. Somebody pointed it out on Hacker Media, and in the comment section they had a link to pictures of them side by side, and they're not the same. They're not the same plug. They look very, very similar, though.
But they won't work.
Apparently not. Apparently not, because it doesn't. It's one of the two is like bigger than the other one. So if like it was like a 5-pin connector on one, mm-hmm. you know, it'd be like a 6 or 7-pin connector on the other one. Like it's just will not fit. So I guess that won't work. Now I don't know anybody who's told me that they've tried to shove one in there, but I've seen pictures of it now, and it looks like it will not fit.
So now we're back to having no clue why Nintendo did it.
Yeah, pretty much. Other than, I guess, maybe it does have something to do. We could go back to the whole, maybe it does, you know, it's a different battery, therefore it needs different power, and then that new one just does do that differently. So,
right.
Let's see. What else did we have? Summertime sucks. And it's
for
been...
a myriad of reasons.
You know, yeah. One of which is, clearly, it's too fucking hot outside.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that blows. But, like, the worst thing is that, seriously, I have, like, spent way too much time during the last couple of weeks trying to find stuff for the show. Like, more than usual. You know, like, usually we just have so much cool stuff going on that it's like we have to pick and choose the best of the news.
Mm-hmm.
And lately it's like, I feel like we're scraping the bottom of the barrel for stuff to talk about because it's just like, well, there's not much going on yet anyway. You know, I mean, we could get all excited about some games that are coming out in, you know, December, 6 months from now, 7 months, you know, or whatever, six, seven months, however the hell long that is away. Where are we at? Jesus, July. So
right.
Like 5 months from now, right? And talk about those, but it almost seems kind of pointless. I hate that. I hate getting all worked up over games ahead of time.
Right.
You know, I mean, you hear about these fat games, and you're just like, dude, I can't sleep for a month. You know? I mean, doesn't that ever happen?
And as it is, we're going to break down and do that a little bit today.
But yeah, no, this is way too soon. What was the? We got the release dates in there somewhere. Yeah, I'm not too happy about that. But it is a topic, and technically it's out. So, you know, I mean, hey, some people are maybe playing it if you can read Japanese. And so one of the things we looked at today was some games that were like, I don't know if it's deliberately not talking about or just haven't gotten around to looking at them yet. And this is kind of like a list of things that I foresee us going over in the near future. And a couple of those, like the Pokemon DS game, something I normally wouldn't talk about, but it is a big topic. So I'm going to have to either suck it up and read about it and learn about it, God forbid, or you're going to do all the notes on it. So what's going to happen here is I'm going to become a Pokemon fanatic here any day now because I'm going to have to read about how cool it is. Battlefield 2142.
Yeah, Battlefield's always a big one.
You know, yeah, whether or not we played or not. You know, somebody asked me yesterday, a buddy of mine over in the UK somewhere, he asked me, I guess he doesn't play very many games, but he does like to play games.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and again he gets to talking with me, and I haven't talked to him for ages. And the other day he says, what's the played FPS right now? And I, like, only could answer Battlefield 2. Now, I'm sure there's a whole group of, like, you know, Unreal Tournament 1 players that have some kind of new mod that they're up in arms right now because I had to, you know, I said that. But, I mean, really, what the hell is everybody playing multiplayer in right now?
Old stuff.
I'm playing Quake 3 and Unreal Tournament 2004 daily and Warcraft 3 every day.
And you're not alone.
You know, I'm not. So, I mean, you know, there's other people that are playing other games, but I think, like, the biggest, most popular one going right now is, what's the expansion for that called? Special Forces or something like that?
Yeah, there's something that just came out recently.
Like another new one even?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I have a friend at work that's big into Battlefield.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I think that's...
2142 would be a lot more up my alley, because I prefer, like, the more science fiction-y FPSs, but I don't like EA.
See, I need Battlefield, like, 42. Right? I want, like, axes and swords and fucking crossbows. That's what I want. Not 1942, just Battlefield 42.
Project Offset, there you go.
Project Offset, yeah, we need to, like, look back into that and check up on that from time to time.
I think it's going pretty well. I
mean, it sounds like it, but it sounds like now they've accumulated, like, a crew of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Well, they got to the point where they kind of needed it.
Which is good, though. That means things are moving right along.
Right.
Another game, this Valkyrie Profile Lenneth game. I guess it's out for the PSP. It's some kind of like a sequel to a PlayStation game, but there's also a PlayStation 2 sequel version coming out, also like a big full-featured one. This one's more like a side alternate kind of deal, you know?
Right.
But it looks pretty cool, though. Like, I mean, even for a PSP game, it looks like something I might have to play, which I'm shocked.
Well, and like we mentioned, the PSP titles that are coming out do look like they're starting to like catch on. Like, Sony is finally realizing that, oh, maybe we should start making...
good games.
Yeah, console games.
Right.
I mean, portable
games. Yeah, handheld games, not
right.
Just PS2 Lite games.
Yeah, yeah.
and Blade Dancer. That was also for that. Looked interesting, at least, to check out. But again, you know, I think I've talked about this before on the show, how I get sold on box art. I'm like, well, hot anime chicks and, you know, swords. I'm there, you know, and this is what I'm seeing when I'm looking at these games. So it's like, you know, the things that, like, I was looking at going, well, you know, I could definitely see us talking about that. Now, Saints Row, I guess this is on the Xbox 360. Have you seen anything about this?
A little.
Did you hear Rybo bitching about it? Apparently, Saints Row is Grand Theft Auto.
Right, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Like, it's like, yeah, right, it's Grand Theft Auto San Andreas 360, right? Yeah. It's like a complete ripoff, I guess. Which, now, isn't always so bad, because, you know, don't they, like, not have that for the 360?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, they do? Well, then what the...
Jeez. I think so.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe it's just for the Xbox.
Is it for the Xbox? I thought it was just a PlayStation 2 title.
No.
And
I know
PC.
I know it went to Microsoft.
Something else?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Wow.
It must have been the Xbox, though.
Huh, okay. Maybe you could look that up while I'm rattling on
here.
I know
the next one is going to come out for the Xbox 360 on the same day.
Right, okay.
As the PS3.
Didn't we, yeah, that was from the Peter Moore on his E3 talk, right? Okay. And Civilization 4 Warlords, it's like an expansion pack. That's got to be another big title that we should cover, because everybody's going to want to play it. Well, not everybody, but quite a few people. It's going to be one of those popular things.
I know, but all we're going to do is rip on it.
People like that. And another thing I had a bitch about summertime is, where the fuck are all of our, like, major blockbuster movies? Did we have, like, two? Like, well, Pirates and X-Men?
And, you know, Superman. That's another one.
Oh, okay,
one.
Okay.
And I think there was something else.
See? No. I'm not...
There's a lot of weird shit that might be blockbusters to, like, somebody else.
Where's the March of the Penguins for this year? Where's the Day After Tomorrows? I really kind of dig on those kind of movies. Like, I love my comic book movies and superhero movies and video... Well, okay, maybe not the video game movies. But, you know, like, I can dig on Batman and Spider-Man and Superman and all this shit. But where is the disaster movie for 2006?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the volcanoes and the Day After Tomorrows and the what's that one where they're in space with the...
Armageddon
and the core,
right.
The other one. Yeah, the core. I like those kind of movies.
You know, you're kind of in the minority there.
Am I really?
Yeah.
I really thought, like, the whole country just went, like, nuts, shit, crazy over this.
Well, they got old.
Well,
that's
why I can
it's
understand
been a while.
That.
I mean, like, there was the Day After Tomorrow, and that was that even last year or the year before?
I think the year before.
And
I
there was a big lull before that one, and they've really slowed down, well, because people got tired of them.
People are going to get tired of comic book movies.
I know, and I'm worried about it.
You know, right. Like, I'm not. I like watching this stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know?
But we're geeks.
Right. We have, like, a special interest in it. You know, we're the niche market. It just so happens to be a great action flick, and therefore the rest of the country jumps on the bandwagon. But I dig my you know, I'm not too big in, like, the dramas and whatnot, but where's, like, the fat comedy hit? Like, the Dodgeball.
Right.
You know? The Ringer was good. I liked that, but it didn't seem like it was, like, some massive undertaking, you know?
The ending blew, though.
Yeah. What's Adam Sandler doing these days? He usually delivers. Him and Vince Vaughn, maybe?
I think lately he's been more producing.
Tisks. Oh, okay. Clerks 2 came out, like, 2 nights ago.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, I don't know, have you seen any reviews on this?
I haven't yet.
Me neither. I'm terrified to look at any, too. I'm, like, seriously scared to death. Because I don't know, I don't want to hear bad things.
Right.
I don't want to hear this movie was absolute shit and just fucking Kevin Smith is a retard and he fucked up. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, this movie owned my ass. You know, that's what I want to hear. So hopefully that's how it is. And our resident Kevin Smith fanboy, Mr. Rybo, was too drunk to go to the movies last night as planned and go watch it and review it for us.
He was trying to sober up, but it just didn't happen.
Shit, no, it didn't. Him and Air got way too drunk. I think it got a little homosexual at parts there. So I'm not so sure what to think about those two anymore. Sorry,
Rybo's
guys.
Rybo's showing his true colors.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to some email here. Dark Dragon Man Neo writes about the 360 controller and other shit. I really gotta stop doing this in, like, 2-point font.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It
just looks so nice, though, and organized.
Well, hey, and it knocks it down from being, like, 12 pages.
Yeah, that's true, too. Hey, guys, what's going on? I recently was playing Fight Night on the Xbox 360 at a con, and I have to say the game was great. I had a lot of fun, and it added to the positive things I have to say about the 360, even though I hate Microsoft for the shit they've done in the past with Windows and the Xbox. However, I had a hard time playing the game because the button in the center of the controller. Now, I literally hit that thing every 10 seconds. Now, I'll admit I have big hands, but I'm no Andre the Giant. I felt the thing should have been about half the size of how it is now. That is why I'm interested to see how Sony's will be. Now, I have to say, I like Sony. Yes, these days it's sad, but I don't care. Not that I love SOE or SCE or SCEI, but as C4 would word it, I think the PlayStation 1 and 2 is fat. Now, I know Sony is raping me. Boy, this is really hard to read. With this PS3 crap, but I really don't think I can turn away from the shit I would miss. But I can handle the abuse since I'm a Square Enix fanboy too. Now I have some sense in my head because I want a Wii too. Besides that, I don't see too much for the 360 that I want and that I couldn't get on the PS3 also. All I really have my eyes on is Gears of War, Prey, Lost Planet, and Dead or Alive Extreme 2. Good man. That's about my list also, and you know, Prey is out for the PC. I really don't want to turn my back on Sony since they made me a GAP member. Oh, isn't that some kind of a website thing?
I don't know.
I think that's like their backdoor underground. I can't think of what it is. It's something. I think you have to be on their website for a certain amount of time or something. Huh. That sounds familiar. Anyway, oh yeah, okay, let me do some PSP beta testing. To be honest, I have no fucking clue what to do, but I will bash my head with the 360 controller if I ever buy one. That's how much I hate Microsoft. Long live Linux and OS X. Any advice for a fanboy losing his faith? No. Finally, I also want that fucking DS Lite. Okay, now you just told me that you're a fucking monster, and now you want a DS Lite. Okay, and I was going to get one, and then I heard a new DS was on the way. Not a new model, but a new color. Yes, they are releasing a black DS Lite. Once again, that's fat. It really pissed me off because I just got the money for it and was going for the DS. Now, I think I saw you bought it, and I'm sure this will piss you off, but I'm just a messenger. I will most likely just buy the Japanese black DS Lite since the Japanese model can play US games too. Yeah, right, there's no region encoding on those. Now, I started thinking after I heard you bitch about waiting for the DS Lite, and I have one question. Why didn't you just import one? I mean, they have a navy blue, I was going to buy this version, and a pink one in Japan. It may be too late for you, but licksaying.com, here I come. Love the show, can't wait to hear your next episode. Now, what was he losing his faith about again?
PlayStation.
Yeah.
Lose it.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, everybody's upset with these people right now, except for like four people that have no reasoning sense in their head, like working at all. Like they just hear it, and all they hear is Ridge Racer, and they're cool with that. You know, like I happen to know a guy who's like that. Sad. No, I know two people now. Now one of them is a buddy of mine. One of them's a cool guy. Hi, Inorbit. Cool guy. One of them, this guy has the perfect name because he's a complete tool. His name's Rod. Fucking hate this guy. He's a douchebag. But he loves the PlayStation 3. And he has no reason or sense about it. He just says it looks fucking awesome.
Right, right.
Okay, then.
There's seven processors.
Those are huge numbers, man. Now, I want to talk about the DS then for a minute here. Now, okay. I'll tell you right now, I own a PlayStation Portable. I use it more than my DS Lite, and that's only because I have a unique situation at work. I need it as an MP3 player, and I will not pay money for an iPod. It's not going to happen. Right. And the other ones, you know, if now was like maybe a couple of years ago, I would have bought one of the older iRivers, like the 40-gig iRivers. I love those fucking things. But now you need their fucked-up, retarded-ass Windows software to transfer the file because it's not just a mass storage USB flash device type thing now, or whatever the hell. Yeah, I don't know. They're fucking retarded because before they were beautiful. I had a friend that would mount his on his FTP server for me, right, and leave it at work on his T1, and it was sick. And that's probably why they don't want to do it anymore. Now you need the stupid ass software to transfer it. But I don't know. I won't buy one that's not like that. Mm-hmm. And I like the iRiver company. Like, I thought they had some good ideas, and I liked the way their products looked, and never saw anything bad about them, except for the recent ones with that stupid-ass software. And recent as in it's been a while.
Right.
Now, anyway, my point of saying I own the PSP was that it's black, and that as clean as I am, Kobar can attest to this, I wash my hands 40 times a day on a slow day, probably.
If it touches anything.
Yeah. Like, I'm really bad about it, okay? And I cannot prevent massive fingerprints on my PSP. Like, it drives me, like, I'm driving and I'm, like, wiping it with the sleeve of my shirt. You know, I mean, it's friggin' terrible. And the DS Lite, the black one, has the same problem.
Right.
Now, the white one, obviously you get some fingerprints on there, but it's, like, way the fuck harder to see them.
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't even notice it unless it's on my screen. So that's not so bad. The black one, the DS Lite, would be pretty rough. Now, the reason I didn't import one? Cost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Cost is probably the number one factor. Number two is time. By the time I was all excited about this thing, right? And, like, started to see the light, right? That was fucking awesome. Dude, that needs to be, like, a banner ad where it's, like, see the light and it's L-I-T-E.
There you go.
Yeah. And anyway, like, it would have taken... There was, like, hella backed-up-ass pre-orders. Mm-hmm. It would have taken 3 weeks, first of all, to get to me. That was second of all. First of all, they don't want $130 U.S. They want $199 U.S. for an imported one, you know? So it was like, I'm just going to wait. Sure, it's iPod white, but you know what? That's not fingerprint suckage there. And you know what? It actually doesn't bother me like it used to. Like, at first I was like, oh, Christ, it's white. You know what? You're looking at the screen.
Yeah.
So it really didn't bother me, and I love that damn little thing. Now, I don't know how you're going to handle it then with big hands, though.
Yeah, if you're touching the middle button in the Xbox...
On the Xbox 360.
I have to try to hit that thing.
You need to go get yourself a Game Gear or an Atari Lynx for your portable gaming. Okay, Andre. Now, Big Boy 2008 writes about the Pirates of the Caribbean 2. Complete review below may contain a short synopsis, spoiler somewhat. It's not a spoiler. Basically, yeah. I read it ahead to find out what he's talking about. He's essentially talking about the fact that there is another one. Okay? So... Everybody knew that.
Yeah, if you don't, oh fucking well.
Whoops. Pull your head out of the rock and take a look around. When I bought the ticket to this movie, I wasn't quite sure what to expect because I wasn't sure if it could surpass the liking I had for the first. And it set things off on a good note, it did. This is the story of William Turner and his quest to save his fiancée by meeting up with Jack Sparrow again and doing tasks in order to save her, during which Davy Jones is unhappy with Jack and chasing him. Jack watches his own back from Davy Jones and his sea monster, which I will keep a surprise. All the while, they search for something very serious to Davy Jones. This movie, as far as action, is pretty much top-notch, with some intense sword-fighting sequences, huge ship battles, and very far-fetched chase scenes. This movie provides for entertainment on different levels. Acting is top-notch with popular actors and actresses such as Orlando Bloom, Johnny Depp, and Keira Knightley, which all provide stunning performances. The story does lift from the first, so I encourage those who have not seen the first to go and see it. The CGI in this movie is amazing, with very lifelike and real characters created by the CGI. Comedy-wise, this movie had parts where I was cracking up and laughing loudly. With Depp's odd expressions and weird movements, this movie provides for a good laugh, while keeping you on the edge of your seat with the constant action. This is also a story of love, and this is shown through the relationship of Will and Elizabeth. Overall, this is a stunning movie, and I cannot wait for the third to come out. Spoiler alert! Yeah. let's see, this is a must-see if you liked the first one at all. This movie's funny, mind-blowing, family-oriented, and quite fun to watch. I encourage you all to see it and enjoy. Thanks, Big Boy.
And I saw this movie, and I have to mostly agree with him. It was a very solid movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Oh, that's right. I forgot you saw this.
Yeah, I liked the first one a little better, and I thought the first, like, maybe 20 minutes of the second one could have just been chopped out. But then again, I'm a little older, and the comedy involved was very cartoony silly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so it was just kind of like reintroducing the characters and like...
I think they have to do that, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like every book I read. If I read a book in a series, in the first like 50, 70 pages or so is like recapping the whole last book.
Right.
I mean, it sucks for the fans.
When they introduce Captain Jack Sparrow, he's in a very like silly situation. And, like, there's natives throwing fruit at him that get stuck on this pole that's attached to his back, and he's, like, running around.
Huh.
And they're, like, spearing this fruit on him, and then he falls, and it's very, like, Wile E. Coyote.
Right. Huh.
And but beyond that, it was very solid. I enjoyed myself all the way into the very end, where they might as well have gone to a black screen that said, to be continued.
Right.
Dot, dot, dot. I mean, it was bad. Now, I understand you have another movie coming out. You're going to, like, set it up for the new movie, and that's fine, whatever. It was just, like, I don't like it when movies don't end.
Right. That should have definitely had a clear-cut end, and yet it will be continued.
Right. And it's just, like, nothing was resolved.
Oh, really? Like,
yeah.
At all?
Yeah.
Now, that kind of blows. Like, it would have been cool if they got a bunch of shit done and then maybe left a thing or two or something.
Right. Well, they did. One thing got resolved.
Ugh.
But,
well, do we know when the third one's going to come out?
No, we don't.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and guess either next summer or this winter.
Yeah, I could see this Christmas and having it be like the big Christmas movie or whatever. Not that it's very Christmassy, but, you know, families get together, they go out and they do things around maybe Thanksgiving and what's that, Christmas? Yeah.
Actually, Christmas Day is a huge movie day.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Ugh.
It's like one of the biggest movie sales, ticket sales
Holy
day of the year.
Holy crap. I'm not going outside that day. You know what else? Like, okay, I have that list on my monitor, like I mentioned, you know, 6 months ago. I'm sure nobody remembers.
I didn't even remember.
Yeah, it's been sitting here all, like, for days, though, of all the movies that were coming out, because we got that email from, I can't remember now, it was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I should have wrote his handle up there so I remembered who to actually give credit to. It's probably somebody who we just read off anyway. And no, I know it wasn't these guys. But in any case, we had I remember the email was Year of the Sequel.
Right.
And we had a list of movies, and he took the time to go through some of these. And it's interesting because I notice here in 1 week, Rush Hour 3 is listed. Monday, August 1st, Rush Hour 3.
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked into it, and I looked it up and stuff, and it says sometime in 2007. Now, like, and they like just did the filming now or something, which is kind of a bummer. But sadly, now check this out. I saw when I was going through the IMDb.com, you know, thing, looking up who when it was coming out and whatnot.
Right.
The only thing I really got out of it was, yeah, it's going to be 2007, and almost like they pulled this where they were working on the fourth one too.
Right.
And it's like, does Rush Hour need a fourth fucking movie?
Does Rush Hour need a third fucking movie?
Right, exactly. The next email is from Dan Washko from the Linux Link Tech Show, episode 124. Let's see. Yeah, I actually got this a while back. Like, I think last week I just barely had this.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to read this because it does touch on our underlying back topic of the recent shows, okay?
Right.
Hey, sorry for the delay. I just listened to 124 last night and this morning, and boy, you guys did a fantastic job reviewing Super Gamer and the games therein. I was a bit dismayed when 125 started, and you reported you only received negative responses regarding that episode and that a few listeners only want to hear about Windows games. Nay, I say, keep reporting your opinions on all platforms, yes, even the Mac, even if it bites harder than Linux. I firmly believe that you will receive far more negative criticism than you will ever receive positive criticism. Thus, while two or three people may have absolutely hated the episode, I'm sure the majority was at least ambivalent and quite possibly entertained. Hopefully you sparked an interest in an audience members to at least try Linux out for themselves.
And we're finding that as people hear when we mentioned that.
Yeah, thank God. Because, like, for a bit there, I was terrified. I was like, oh, man, this is going to go over worse than the two Final Fantasy episodes that we did, you know? Jesus, people are going to be knocking at my door with pikes on fire and shit. All right, let's see. While I did not agree with all of your assessments, of course you didn't, because you disagreed with me about X-Men Legends back in, like, episode 65. Which I'm the jackass about, because, yeah, I've been wanting to mention that. I bet Wolverine regens with points in some kind of skill.
Right, right.
And I don't know what it is, and I couldn't figure it out. And Dan, on episode, like, 60-something of the tech show, said that his did, so I'm obviously not paying as close attention as I thought I did. Let's see, I found your viewpoints enlightening. A lot of my gaming on the PC went by the wayside when I ditched Windows a number of years ago, so I am stuck in the last century in some cases. Thus, I am more forgiving for some of the deficits you pointed out in a lot of the games. But I think you clearly pointed out that Linux is capable of running fantastic games, but the powers that be are just not ready to support that platform. It's a shame that it is. I've had the Super Gamer ISO sitting on my hard drive for some time now. I should get off my ass, burn it, and try it out for myself. I'm interested to see if my system runs it at the paltry 800x600. That to me is not ideal and should be adjustable. Alas, I'll have to see for myself. Please do not drop the exploration of other platforms and homebrew games. Squeeze them in from time to time. You might find some diamonds in the rough out there. I'll be pimping episode 124 along with your show in general. You can count on that. Keep up the great job. Oh, and if you ever want me on, just drop me an email a day or so in advance. Now, there's a couple things that we have to go back and touch on. I sure hope it runs at more than 800x600 for you because, I don't know, I've got a basic NVIDIA card in here, so I don't know why it only limited me to that resolution. Maybe, I don't know if it detects it or if they hard-coded that because it's like a common, or it used to be, a common resolution.
A long time
you know,
ago.
I mean, if you're going to be running something called Super Gaming, you're probably running a little bit more than average hardware, you know? For God's sakes, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you got stuff like Quake 4 and Doom 3 on there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, come on. And they even jack that to, like, the lowest possible quality for you, you know, like, to start. So that was kind of a bummer. So, I mean, we tried to do a pretty good job of reviewing it. I mean, we actually sat and played through everything that we talked about. Not, like, all the way through. I didn't play BZ Flag for 10 years. I played it for, like, 10 minutes and was like, what the hell's wrong with people? But I spent way too much time with some of those. Like, Never Put right. and that goddamned... What the hell was I playing now? There's one that... Oh, the billiards game. I played that for days. I don't know. It was a lot of fun, though. But see, what we wanted to do is like... Oh, I don't mean to say real games, but like... Really at not a live CD. You know, and a little bit of Sudega, maybe. Hint, 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 hint. And maybe in some obviously native games running on it. And maybe some of the things we wanted to go through. And I thought it would be cool to talk about those and
commercial
whatnot.
Games.
Not... Yeah, yeah. Commercial games. Yeah, definitely. Because... They are generally a little bit more polished, you know? I mean, I hate to say it, but there's...
Well, they have the time and resources
right.
to polish.
Right, absolutely. You know, I mean, you just don't get it with a lot of these, you know, guys where there's two dudes in a basement anymore, right. you know, unfortunately. So, and, you know, we definitely want to get you on, and that would be the perfect episode, man, to have you on here, because it would just be, like, the coolest thing ever.
And we'll work on it.
You know, yeah, yeah, I'm actually... We're trying. We're actually... We're taking... This is... A momentous occasion, as a matter of fact. This is the first episode that we've ever actually attempted to record in Linux. And the last one was edited fully in Linux. Recorded in Windows, though, because I fucking Audacity can kiss my ass sometimes. It has these weird-ass problems and does some strange shit. So we're going good now at 30 minutes. Let's hope this doesn't all bomb out on us and jack me up. But, I mean, this has problems still. I can't record, like, from the machine itself. And the ALSA problem, I don't have the mixer thing anymore. I mean, right. you have to turn all these weird options off for this and that and the other thing. And it's just, like, it works for most of our purposes, though. So, I mean, so far, so good. We're fooling around with it. Because, essentially, dude, I spend, like, an hour in Windows a week now. It's so beautiful. Except for the fact that I've been playing Warcraft 3 and Quake 3 all week long. It's just terrible. So, like I said, though, we're working on that. We're trying to do it right and actually, you know, hook things up pretty good. All right, let's see. From Kiduk Fu, I was listening to 126 when you said something about Mario Kart being inferior to FF or something like that.
Neither of us know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I can't remember to save my life what I may have said or... Kobar may have said, or whatever the hell FF might be.
Yeah, other than Final Fantasy.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No.
You know, those apples are way better than those oranges over there.
It's not even fruit. I mean, apples versus, like, chocolate.
You know, yeah. I don't get it at all. I cannot think of what that is.
Or what we would possibly say was better than Mario Kart.
Yeah, because that's, like, the best racing game as far as I can think of.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand it. Anyway.
To us, anyway.
Right, yeah. I'm not emailing you to complain, but it reminded me of when I went to Disney World in June for 9 days. It reminded me of all the arcades there. They have one on pretty much every corner in every park in all the hotel lobbies. And it reminded me more specifically of the Mario Kart arcade GP cabinets that were in every arcade. I was surprised to see them because I had seen pictures but always seemed like they were only in Japan. I, of course, popped in dollar after dollar, and I can safely say this is the best Mario Kart ever. Ever! The graphics are 360 quality, and the carts are really fun just to drive. When you first get into the racing seat, you are told to align your face with the lines on the screen. It's so that during the race, you can see your face in the corner. Now, I was more interested with the camera than the picture. It was a NanCam, which, as you can probably guess, is made by Namco. Not only is there a NanCam, but Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, and three of the ghosts are selectable characters. I was amazed. They also had their own tracks to drive on. Now let's get down to gameplay. Not only is this game beautiful, but plays amazingly well. The item system is fantastic. There are very few items from the other Mario Kart games, but the most common is a pan that you throw. The targeting system is also beautiful and easy to use. You just drive behind them until you see a bullseye and throw the item you have. There isn't much more I can say other than if you ever see it, play it. Thanks for your time and goodbye. That is, I've never heard of such a thing.
No, neither have I.
Which is amazing.
And aside from the fact that he keeps calling it Mario Kart, it doesn't sound like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Like, the item system works completely differently, and there's, like, Namco's involved.
Right, yeah. I don't know, that's just bizarre. But I definitely will check this out if I ever see it, being giant, like, Mario Kart
It'd
fan.
It'd be nice to play Mario Kart with an actual steering wheel and stuff.
It would, but you know what? That's, like, my biggest complaint about Mario Kart is, like, when I'm racing somebody and, like, they just get lucky on whatever bullshit-ass rape C4 up the ass item they get is. And it's like, I outrace so many fucking people, but I get owned because they get spike shell after spike shell after spike shell. And you know what? I get a banana fucking peel or a goddamn green shell. And I'm not complaining about when I'm in first and get that, you know?
Right, right.
Because I'm racing. I'm not dropping shit. I don't care. I'm just racing, and I'm just out there for speed, cutting corners, taking the best lines, maximizing, you know, my little nitros and mini boosts and whatever I can get. And then these jackasses are back there playing fucking grab ass, and they get lucky and fucking ass rape whoever's in the lead. And it pisses me off. Now, I understand Mario Kart's more than racing, but it's like I don't like racing games. So, like, to me, it is a racing game because it's fun. You know, it's very right. simple to control. But, like, I wish there needs to be a no-item mode. You know, there no cheat. No, you know, not cheat, but handicap. No right. handicap and no item mode just for fun. It might be a mode people would like to play. I certainly would from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the items are fun as all hell, particularly when somebody whoops your ass. You know, but that sucks when you just want to race. But anyway. Frozen Walkway writes in, where's my Green Lantern movie, bitches? Seriously, what the fuck? They make a movie about Fantastic Four. As you guys said, it's really old and shit. But tell me a Green Lantern movie wouldn't kick ass. As for a Superman movie, I want to see Superman fight Darkseid and Doomsday. Now that would be badass.
Mm-hmm.
Just as much as, I think it's Azrael, the guy that Batman fought in the comics.
Right.
I would like to see that too. I mean, but the Joker's the guy they're going to use. He's well known. Lex Luthor is the guy they're going to use for Superman. He's well known.
Right.
You know, they're not going to use these way hella obscure things.
Well, they may start now.
That's why there's not a Sleepwalker movie. You know? Dark Hawk, anybody? No. Nobody read those comics but me, okay? They're not going to do it, I don't think. I just don't see it. Nobody cares because I don't know who he is. Although, okay, and we got Venom and Spider-Man.
Right.
Right? Did you, and I cannot friggin' remember, we saw the trailer. Was Carnage in there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Not in the trailer anymore.
Okay. Oh, that's why they didn't show shit anyway, but some black ooze.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Okay. That was about as good as a Transformers trailer. Piece of shit. I swear to God, these movie trailers can kiss my ass. And they're like a year ahead of time.
Yeah.
Sucks. Now, you know, have you seen this thing on... Well, I'm like asking the listeners. Have you guys seen this thing online lately? Hello? All right. The Nintendo DS Lite.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not even sure what to think about this after, like, reading, like, 10 different stories on it. It seems like 0.02% of the total units sold in the United States are cracking on the left hinge.
In the exact same spot.
Right. I'll give them that. It is in the exact same spot, though. And it's a very strange, like, 3 millimeters, 4 millimeters above the seam in the plastic
mm-hmm.
on the hinge, the little small hinge part, by the L trigger button.
Right.
And it's just like snapping. And the bizarre part is like nobody noticed it. You know, like all these people that you read, like out of, you know, 5 or 6 websites with stories on this, almost every one of them was like, you know, I didn't even notice that mine was cracked there until I read this and checked mine. Well, I checked mine and mine's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this a bit. We're pretty sure...
I'm convinced people just, like, don't take care of their shit.
Yeah, people like, treat their stuff like ass.
You see people flipping their cell phones like it's a boomerang or something.
Yeah.
They're just, like, flipping it out and closing it all hard. And, yeah, the hinge is made of plastic. It's gonna break.
Yeah, I mean, if you abuse it, it's not good. Now, I am not overly careful with mine, but I certainly don't flip up the screen real fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I do take it with me from place to place, throw it in my pocket, you know, throw it on the seat when I get in the car to take it out of my pocket. I mean, I'm rougher than I am with that than almost anything.
Right.
That's because I have a service plan. It's like insurance to be an asshole. Okay?
I'm almost guarantee you that it's people closing it too hard.
Probably.
Slamming it down.
Probably. Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. And that just happens to be a weak point. And so too much stress and it breaks.
It happens. But in any case, apparently enough people have been calling Nintendo about it, then Nintendo's charging $50 to repair because it's not covered by warranty. It's mm-hmm. a cosmetic defect. I am 100% on Nintendo's side on this. It's not their fault. You're a fucking idiot.
Well, and especially if you have the crack and it closes and it stays closed.
And it works
It's most
still.
Definitely a cosmetic effect.
Get some super glue, be a man, and glue that shit together, okay, if it bothers you that much. You know, I mean, it's a cosmetic defect. It's like, it's essentially a scratch. Would you take it to Nintendo and say, you need to fix this? No, I mean, okay, it's a crack. It's a little bit more bad than that. It's not like it's big enough that they're getting crap in there. I mean, wait till a chunk breaks off or something to where it might damage the thing. Something might get in there and screw it up. It's like a hairline fracture on the hinge, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if it closed just fine, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, I mean, there's no big deal. I don't see me. I mean, if mine cracked, whatever. Whatever. You know what? You spend the extra $14 down at, you know, your CompUSA's and Circuit City's and Best Buy's, and you get the coverage plan for 2 years, and you wait for it to break, and your GameStop's and EB's or whatever, and you wait for the 2 years, and you get one that, you know, works after that. No big deal. I mean, if it still works. If it's, you know, causing a problem.
Yeah, or if I was getting, like, a dirty cart error.
You know? Right. Blowing it. Now... I guess, okay, now there's reports of Nintendo saying, of people saying Nintendo's not charging for this anymore. Like they were, mm-hmm. but I guess a certain percentage of people, I guess, make an epidemic, and now it, I guess there's some people are saying they're not charging.
Well, there you go.
And, you know, so I mean, yeah, I mean, it might not be that big of a deal, but ask yourself this. Are you willing to ship your DS off to Nintendo and not have it because of a fracture in it that doesn't do anything?
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm not willing to go without that. No friggin' way. But if you are one of those people, the phone number you want to call is 1-800-255-GET-A-LIFE. I mean, 3700. Okay, U.S., not friggin' Japanese for once, U.S. hardware sales charts for June 2006. We haven't had these numbers before,
mm-mm.
which I find, that's why I find them very interesting. And what would have been great is if we took more than 10 seconds to plan the notes and had the Japanese ones side by side so we could just kind of compare.
That would
I didn't
been
think
nice.
About it until just now because I was just so excited to get actual, you know, U.S. numbers. Let's see. Out of the 7 consoles here that are for sale, you want to wager a guess on number one?
I think it's going to be Xbox.
Xbox, yeah. I knew that was coming. The Nintendo DS, 593,000 units in June. That's 5.1 million.
These have got to be rounded.
Right, they have to be because they're all right.
000 at the end.
PlayStation 2 at number 2, 312,000. Xbox 360, 277,000. PlayStation Portable, 221,000. That's amazing. Game Boy Advance, 189,000. GameCube, 51,000. And the Xbox, 24,000.
Yeah, look how close Game Boy Advance is to PlayStation Portable.
Game Boy Advance, 189,000 and 221,000. Holy crap. DS more than doubles that. That's amazing. Now, we also have the software. Software sales. We only took like the top 10.
Which is nice because that can be hard to find.
The software chart?
Yeah.
All of these are hard to find. I've never seen these before. Well, I mean, we have, I guess, a while back. But mm-hmm. it's like we dig around and stumble across them occasionally. I think we may have the inroad on it now, though,
to be able
to find it.
We don't have numbers. We just have ranking.
Oh, we don't, do we? Boy, that helps me to copy and paste again, huh? So, number one, sold game, June 2006 in the United States, New Super Mario Brothers for the Nintendo DS.
Oh, yeah.
Why the hell don't you do the rest of these?
I'm tired.
But just make sure you talk that way.
Number two for the 360 is Hitman Blood Money.
Word, bitch. That needs to be on my list of shit to talk about soon.
Yeah.
That means I have to play it.
Number three for the PS2 is Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories. Number four for the PS2 is Guitar Hero Bundle.
That must just be Guitar Hero with the guitar?
Probably.
Okay.
Number five for the PS2 is Jesus Christ, Cars.
For fuck's sakes. Oh, my God.
Number six for the PS2 is Kingdom Hearts 2. Number seven, it gets pretty bad down here.
I hate kids. Yeah, it does. It does.
Number seven for the PS2 is Hitman Blood Money for the
PS2.
Right. And number eight for the GBA is
Cars. Oh, my God.
Number nine for the 360 is Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion. Number 10 for the 360 is Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon
Advanced Warfighter. That's supposed to be fun shit, though.
Yeah.
Now, I played the original one on the PC a while back. Not, like, hardcore or nothing, but I played it for a while and absolutely loved it.
I don't see myself playing this kind of game with a controller, though. I mean, giving
That's
orders...
That's why I played it on the PC.
Yeah, giving orders to your teammates seems like it needs a lot of hotkeys.
Yeah. Now after the top 10, we just kind of jumped and put three of the notable ones in there, just out of the top 25.
Because it did start to get pretty bad.
It got retarded.
More cars and whatnot.
You know, yeah. Now, another thing, do you notice there's not a PC game on here?
No, there's not.
Why is that?
I don't think there
was. Where's the fucking Prey on this? Where's the fucking Titan Quest on this? All right, do the last three.
All right, number 14 for the Nintendo DS is Brain Age.
Please, anyway, thank you.
Number 22 for the NDS is Big Brain Academy. And it's nice that we put these on because it's nice to see that that kind of game is selling well enough.
Right, not just cars and Grand Theft Auto.
Right. Number 25 for the 360 is Rockstar Table Tennis.
For the 360?
Yeah, and I find this weird that Rockstar made something like this.
I do too. I mean, do you, like, shoot the guy if you lose or win or whatever? I mean, Jesus. Or rape the girl or whatever?
Or maybe you, like, poke him in the eye with the ball.
Yeah. Something. I don't know. That's just too weird. Now, I totally had something I wanted to talk about. Oh, yeah. When I said Titan Quest, it occurred to me, did you see where the guy from, oh, crap. I can't remember what he is now. He's, like, main developer or something like that. Some shit big shot guy for Titan Quest. Mm-hmm. Same dudes that worked on Age of Empires. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, did you see him bitching about World of Warcraft? Like, he came out in some interview and was just like, my game's not selling good because World of Warcraft is ruining the gaming market. And I'm, like, thinking there for a minute, this guy's a jackass. His game just sucks. And World of Warcraft, you know, just happens to... And I thought, you know, he has a point, though. I mean, he didn't come out like an asshole and say... Like, he kind of did, though.
Right.
He really kind of did. Like, I mean, you're just like, oh, my God. But he does say, you know... That he's basically, he doesn't put like a complete asshole though. It's more like all this money in the gaming world is like being held onto by people because they're playing these MMOs. And
we've always done it.
Right.
But we were one of like 400,000 or 500,000, not
right.
One of millions.
Right. But okay, wait a minute. There was something else I saw too where they were talking about like 1.5 million U.S. players or something and the rest overseas.
I believe it.
So, right. No, but that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I don't remember what the hell I was reading now, but I remember reading it and going, oh, this is what we wanted to know.
Yeah.
And it was closer to 1.5 million, like probably on the lower end, than 5 million or 6 million, whatever the hell number they claim now.
Right.
You know?
Which might be true.
Right. And
but
I can,
they're worldwide sales.
Right. But, I mean, if you look at like 1.5 million U.S. Gamers playing that, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people that aren't paying any money for any other games, though.
Right.
You know, and sadly, you know, the expansion's coming out for this piece of trash. People are going to waste another, like, 8 years trying to beat 2 weeks worth of content. You know, maybe these people just, they don't have any skill, and they just suck at video games. Maybe that's what it is. It's not a casual game.
No, I don't think...
We're trying to be an asshole, and you blew right through it. Okay.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't think either Prey or Titan's Quest was out in June. Was it?
Oh, that would definitely explain why.
I'm not sure there was anything for the PC that came out in June.
Yeah, you're probably right. Okay. I'm just an idiot then. Sorry, Mr. Age of Empires guy. No, but I think he's definitely got a point there. I mean, he really does. Because I know for one, both of us paid next to $0 for any other game while we were playing whatever the hell MMO it was at the time for a number of months, you know? And sadly, you're competing against, you know, no matter... It's not an MMO versus World of Warcraft. It's games versus World of Warcraft. And I mean, that sounds a little bit ridiculous. Not everybody's playing an MMO, but certainly a freaking giant-ass number, way too big, is playing World of Warcraft.
1.5 million gamers in the United States is a decent chunk of the pie.
God, I wish I could find where I saw that now. Because I don't know if it was like hella old or even just barely old.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was on Battle.net, though.
Really?
Yeah, like, because we've been there, you know, a couple times.
Right.
In the last, like, day or two. And I want to say...
I just don't see Blizzard releasing that number.
I don't know.
Regional.
I don't remember where the hell I saw it now. Hell, you know, it might have even been in that article.
Oh.
It may have even been there. I'll have to go back and look just to find out for our own sake. You know,
there's ways to find out, just not by us.
Right, yeah, exactly.
There's industry counts and whatnot.
Resourceful people.
Yep.
Now, Crysis, we talked about this game on the, like, after E3.
Right, because, how beautiful it was.
Yeah, how cool it looked. Now, if you go to crysisonline.com, it's crysis-online.com, they have on their forum there, somebody, like one of the head dudes that actually knows what's going on, I guess. I mean, he was the fucking admin. Okay?
Right.
Like, that was his name. Admin. Bam. Administrator. This, that. He's got all the medals and badges and whatnot on, under his little handle on the thing, you know. And he posted the system requirements for this goddamn game. This is disgusting. This is retarded. The minimum requirements for this game. CPU. Athlon 64, 3000 plus on Intel 2.8 gigahertz. That's like a P4.
Yep.
Or better. Okay. Do you have that?
No, I don't.
Graphics. NVIDIA 6600 or ATI X800 GTO. Do you have that?
Nope.
RAM. 768 megs to 1 gig on Windows Vista. Do you have that?
Sadly enough, no.
Hard drive. 6 gigs of space. We know you have that covered.
Yes, I do.
Interweb. 256K down?
I got that.
Optical drive. DVD.
I got that.
Software. DirectX 9.0C with Windows XP.
Sadly, I have that.
Dude. I gotta tell this story. So there I am, looking at these fucking e-machines, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the screen's off on one of them. So some douchebag walks up and he goes, "Do these come with an operating system on them?" So right off the bat, I'm either dealing with somebody who actually knows what he's talking about, but he's trying to be a dick, or a complete retard.
I'm going with option number two.
Yep. So. And I had it. End of your day. You don't want to talk about Windows anymore. I just want to run home and sit in front of anything that's not Windows. And I say, sadly, it comes with XP Home. And because I said sadly, or unfortunately, I said unfortunately it comes with Windows XP Home. And he goes, "Unfortunately, you must be one of them there Linux people." And I'm like, "Oh no." I'm all, "Yeah, actually." And he goes, "I tried Linux once. Nice Red Hat system with all the current RPMs. Real sweet box. Got root hacked in the first half an hour. Went back to Windows. I ain't never had a problem since." I just walked off and I'm like, "Holy shit, okay." And he's like, he like looks over his shoulder and he's like, "I'm going to be buying that for my dad." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm running away now." Dude, it was bizarre. Fucking people are retarded, I swear to God. They need to stop inbreeding. The recommended requirements for this game. This game better absolutely blow your nuts off. I swear to God. For the amount of money that you would have to pay for a computer that would do this, you could spend like 4 hours at the Bunny Ranch and have way more fun. CPU, dual core CPU, Athlon X2 or Pentium D. Graphics, NVIDIA 7800 GTX ATI X1800 XT or DirectX 10 equivalent. RAM, 1.5 gigabytes, hard drive, 6 gigabytes, internet, 512K down, 120K up, optical drive, DVD, software, DirectX 10 with Windows Vista only.
No.
Now, I do not have the CPU or the graphics card for that. I do have the RAM, though.
I know. I have 512 still. It's disgusting.
Yeah, but you have an excuse, though. You've gone past the point of it being worth upgrading. You know, you've stalled long enough, you know? You just got to drop the ball and spend some absurd amount of money on all kinds of new hardware, all in either one foul swoop, or at least get the ones that you can that won't get all outdated right away and soon, and then buy, like, the freshest of the fresh of the stuff that tends to go quicker later.
Right.
If that made any sense at all.
It did. I will say that it's quite nice to see games starting to be programmed for dual-core processors, though. Because if they're going to recommend dual core, that means they're going to use dual core.
Yeah, no, that's good. Sorry, I was thinking about something completely different there.
Right.
The low file space I have on the temporary file on this machine.
Whoa.
Yeah, I need to move that to the home directory because it's like 400 gigs, and I don't think we're going to record for that long. Not right this moment, though. That's for another day when I break something else. Zine. Fucking, I'm gonna make that shit work right, I swear to God. So anyway, I didn't hear what you said. Something about Vista I'm sure sucks.
No, I was saying I think it's a really good thing that game companies are starting to like.
Oh right, that's right. Use it. Yeah, because you know what? There's a lot of problems with some of the dual core stuff on current games. Mm-hmm. Like come to think of it, the one that like hits me right away that I can think of, and it's not the only one that has this problem, is like Neverwinter Nights.
Right.
Like it's either super hella fast for a couple seconds, and then, oh no, not either. It goes from like mega speed to like incredibly slow to mega speed to incredibly slow.
Whoa.
Because it's with the timing with the two cores, and it fucks up the game.
Right.
And a couple games have problems for this. Now, apparently, it's not the game. It's like the the driver for the chip. Hmm. So like on Windows XP, you can get like a driver. Like from the AMD website, there's like a driver for the chip that installs into Windows. So what I would be curious to see, and what I will be finding out at some point, if that problem happens in Linux. I have two copies of fucking Neverwinter Nights. I'd be damned if I'm not going to install it just to say I have it installed, you know,
right.
at some point. And the plan over here in C4 land is in December, Pentium D in the hizzy. So I got 5 months or so. I have to wait.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
No Pentium D.
It'll be a Conroe.
Yeah.
It'll be a... Well, I don't know. That's just it.
It'll be a Conroe.
It better be. It has to be. If they're out now, Intel doesn't...
Are they out now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Dude, you didn't see the forum when I posted the day that they announced it all, where it was like, Intel brings the holy Pwn tonight. You know? See, I said Pwn. Maybe we get asked last week... I said it. It just came out as Pwn because I wanted to make sure it was spelled with a P when I said it so that everybody would know. But yeah, anyway, they released it all in some big thing. People say it basically rocks, and it's a really nice processor, and sorry, AMD. And AMD is trying to partner up with ATI now to do something. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Can you imagine that? I would totally walk away from both platforms and not care.
Yeah, well, you've never been a fan of either.
I've had AMD chips before.
Yeah, but you still prefer Intel.
It's the name. Intel. Doesn't that sound fucking awesome? Not Advanced Micro Devices, or whatever the hell it's supposed to be. I never liked it that much. But you know, like, I had an Athlon 850 or something, like, back in the day, you know, when it was the little, whatever the hell, Socket A, like the first ones they put out, and that was replacing a dual Pentium 2 450. And it seriously sucked ass compared to the dual 450s.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so depressed. I was like, man, this fucking blows. But then I got like a 1400 and it was better. And then I had a 2600, AMD Athlon XP 2600.
I like that chip.
I have one now. And it's different than the one I had before even.
Hmm.
This is a different 2600. It's in Katrina, the little box.
See, now, what temperature does this idle at?
Like 50-something degrees.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's compact.
Yeah, and I got, remember the fans died in it?
Oh, right.
The slow, quiet ones, but there was two.
Okay, so mine idles at like 40 or something. Now what is that one? With the built-in fan, the one that came with the chip.
Like 65? On a cold winter's day with the door open? I know, it's making me sweat just sitting over here near this thing. I know, but it's a Prescott. Intel fucked up, and I'm too broke to buy a new one.
Right.
So, anyway, now.
Moving on.
Moving on to a game that we've been trying to avoid like the plague. I don't know. And it's because it's not for days. Well, it's not even that long now, really. It's, what, 2 months now?
Yeah.
It's not too bad. Not too bad. Ribo sent us a plagiarized email about it a while back that I would not read. Back in, like, April or so. I think it was the first week of May. And it was a very well-written article from Play Magazine about Final Fantasy XII, which is released in the U.S. on October 31st, 2006, Europe October 6th, 2006, and it's out in Japan already. It came out in March 16th, 2006.
And goddamn them, I finally get over my Square fanboy-ness. And they make me excited again.
This coming from the guy who plays Final Fantasy XI every day, just so you know.
No, not every day.
Every day that you play games, it's Final Fantasy XI for the last, like, month or 5 weeks or so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're weak. Fight it. You fell off the wagon again or whatever. All right. It's a single-player RPG of probably, like, the most popular RPG series, which is why that this has to get talked about. It's just huge, you know? Yet another sequel rolls out, number 12, and they're even like trying to hide how many games they have.
Oh, yeah?
We have like four versions of Final Fantasy VII now.
Right, right.
We have two versions of Final Fantasy X.
There's
countless
gonna be...
remakes.
Yeah, that gets old.
It's only old to me because they're not doing the best one.
Right, right.
If they would do a proper remake of Final Fantasy VI, I would be on my knees at their front door, you know, when all the employees are lined up to get in the building and the door opens. You know, yeah, I will be ready to go. You know, just do it.
There's going to be two versions of 13 the day, release day.
Good God. Of 13?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Already planning for the future. I'm not too happy about that. But I guess, I mean, you know, if it works, it works. And at least they're not the same game. They're just using the same title,
right,
which is why this is excusable.
And just a general tying
this
thing.
This is a fantasy RPG with...
Right, you have the chocobos,
right,
and you have
right,
flying airships, and there's only a few real things that tie these together.
It's more like a Final Fantasy universe kind of tie-in thing.
Right.
Different planets and even solar systems in the Final Fantasy universe that they've little created there.
Right.
Or something like that. Now, this Final Fantasy XII here is from everything that we've heard, pretty much makes it sound like it's going to be the best RPG ever. And I say this because when we played Final Fantasy XI and we were way into it, I mean, like, before, one of the things that we constantly said about it was that if this was a single-player game, it would be the best RPG ever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, essentially, it seems like Square has heard that call.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they probably have some kind of a robot or something, like, parses the logs or something for all the Final Fantasy XI servers and looks for, like, the same strings, you know? And they probably kept seeing, if this was single-player, and maybe they heard our call. And, I had a great joke here, and Kobar blew it earlier, but I'm going to go ahead with it anyway. You're a young boy, and you hate the evil empire, and you have to save the world, and there's a princess involved somewhere, and the young boy hates the empire because he killed his brother or mom or sister or something. Now, I don't know. I guess you do play as a young boy, though. I'm still shocked. I guess. Now, and the bad guy is like some dude.
A young boy that looks like a girl.
Oh, that's right. That's another Final Fantasy item there. And the bad guy, though, I guess is just some dude who wants to take over the world who's not Kefka.
Right.
He's not trying to destroy the world. He's trying, or turn into some kind of, at least as far as I can gather, part of an empire.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, your guy's name is Van, V-A-A-N, I guess? Van, Vaughn?
It's more
Van.
Like, yeah, it's more like Rome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So... And anyway, you're from some little tiny country that's like trapped between the two giant countries, right? Mm-hmm. That are trying to take over and basically, right, okay, that's a better way to put it. They're not trying to like burn the place down. They're just trying to dominate and be the leader, you know? So, I mean, that's not all bad. I would do the same thing if given the opportunity. And of course, there is a princess involved, I guess. Now, one of the two empires, from what I was able to gather from this, I guess she... is like, she was the princess of the small country, and the king was assassinated or something, I guess,
mm-hmm,
by one of the two big empires or whatever. And so, now, what I'm reading, though, is it sounds like they're trying to make this game less epic, less you must save the world.
Well, and it's one of the greatest jokes about Japanese
right,
RPGs.
Right, absolutely.
So they're trying to take care of that.
Which is why I started out with the young boy and powers that he doesn't know he has. <You know? laughs> He must save the one that he doesn't know he loves yet, a former princess. You know, I mean, every fucking bad anime I've ever seen starts out that way.
And every good
and
anime,
I was just going to say, and the good ones, yeah. You must save the world.
But now, it's also going along the lines of the Final Fantasy XI offline thing. Because in Final Fantasy XI, you're not...
Right.
Saving the world. You're going on an adventure in this world that happens to be kind of fucked up.
Right, right, yeah. Which is cool. Which is way cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because I like just kind of dinking around in it. You know, you can do whatever you want and kind of putz around for a while. If you want to level grind, great. If you want to do something, there's clear-cut missions and you can just kind of stay on that road. And that was one of the things that I thought was really cool about this because, I knew I shouldn't have done the notes like this. I wrote it more like a review, less like notes for the show that we usually do, like bullet points. Now I can't find what I want.
You end up having to read it.
Read some of it, right. And I'm trying like hell not to. Now, yeah, so I forgot what I was going to say anyway, so I might as well just keep reading. Or more or less like skimming what I was reading. So, I guess those are the two main characters anyway, though, right?
Right.
And the world is called, I can't even fucking pronounce this, Ivalis?
I think it's Ivalis.
Ivalis. That could
be. I think
be.
So.
It's Ivalis. Ivalis. C-E. Ivalis. Okay, is the world. Big open world, though. Like, you know, we keep saying it's like Final Fantasy XI because it's just this huge fucking place where you just walk around. There's
well,
no, like, there's, levels and zoning and weird
well,
crap like
zoning.
That. Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Ah.
Well, there was in Final Fantasy XI.
Barely. I mean, you had to walk through... Well, okay.
They were big zones.
You're right. That's why it seemed like barely any. Okay.
But, and that, I would say that it, because of the RAM in the PS2, right, there's not a whole lot of choice in
that. Yeah, that's right. I think that's probably why they did that in the first place. Well, not a hell of a lot of zoning. It's not like you're loading level after level after level, I don't think.
No. And you know, you have zones like Final Fantasy
XI. Right, okay, so they're pretty damn big then. Because I complained about how long it would be to where you to between when you zoned in and zoned out in some place, you know? Because the places were so big, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. That's a good thing for a game like this. Now, you do have this open world to explore, just like an MMO, where you wander around and just kill stuff. Now, we've seen video of, like, a fight, which was way cool. Because the first thing I noticed about the fight was that it did not have some kind of visual jackassery to introduce you into the fight. You know, that's my biggest complaint probably with RPGs, where it's like, how
where
many...
Where you, like, warp to a world where you actually fight.
Fuck, what a... Yeah. You know, when the screen twists or changes to diamonds or some kind of stupid...
And I think that also was started because of RAM issues.
Probably. But it's long overdue that has to go, and we're still seeing it in games, though.
Because it was like switching engines, you know what I mean?
Right, absolutely. No, I know. But it just... It blows. It pisses me off because I look at it like... Like, every time I fight this random battle, which is sometimes one more step... That's like 5 seconds that I didn't need to sit and wait to push a button. You know what I mean?
Right.
Now add that 5 seconds up. And
over the 300,000 fights that you're going
to do. Right. And that's a lot of fucking wasted ass time. You know, this is just like you roll up on there, some dude's just standing there, and you just start beating his ass.
And some of them will be aggro to you, and some of them link, and it is quite
now
obvious.
By link, he means.
Oh, right. Like you fight some crawler or big giant worm, and another one sees that his friend's getting attacked and comes and joins the fight.
Right, which is really cool, because that, like, you know, you think you're just wandering around beating ass, right, and then now you have to actually worry about things, you know, which is cool. I like that. There's probably all kinds of weird-ass shit situations you can catch yourself into with that. Like, what I keep picturing is, like, a train. You know, like,
right,
like running like hell for a zone, and you're like, dude, this is gay. I'm playing a single-player game, and I'm training my own zone, which would be kind of funny, though, you know? I don't know. But, yeah, which is neat. I mean, even their aggro, like you said, they can even be, like, sleeping, we saw in the video. There's a dude asleep, and, like, if you just don't be a loud asshole when you walk past, he won't wake up and attack you, which is kind of neat. I mean, that little things like that add to the world, you know? Mm-hmm. That the monsters are just standing there, not hiding somewhere.
It helps the game, like, breathe and be alive.
Yeah, it definitely brings it alive. Absolutely. There's, like... Now, from what I've heard, there is, like, a main quest, obviously. There's a main overall plot, but from what I've heard, that's, like, 50% of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The other 50% of the game...
If that, I've heard. I mean...
Right.
There's a...
Oh, good.
There's a lot of stuff that's side quests and hunting NMs and all kinds of shit to do.
Right. Now, that's what I wanted to talk about, because I'm excited about that, and I just can't find my list now.
It's down lower.
Down low. Where is it here?
Oh, it's at the very bottom.
Sweet. That means I get my big joke. Okay, so... No, it's not at the very bottom. Right. Oh, yeah, it is. It was just kind of like little... No. Next, let me break limit board... it wasn't the license, side quest. Right, it was the side quest thing. Okay, half of the game's content is not necessarily the main plot. So you can go out and find extra shit. So whether it's places, things to kill, little mini games to play, there's all kinds of little side, you know, bullshit quests to do. But from those quests that are optional, you can get, you know, of course, items and weapons and whatnot, mm-hmm, but you can also get, like, special summons,
right,
which is kind of cool, right, which is neat, because, you know, for those of you that like going out and doing all that extra crap, this is a real reward, not just more money and more experience. I thought that was neat, and you balled in the hunting the NMs thing in there. It's like a unique creature, like in Diablo. You're used to wandering around, and you see a named guy. He's not just a skeleton, you know. He's Bob the Slayer.
You won't be sitting there for 4 hours looking for the Emperor.
I will be. I will be camped out on that motherfucking beach waiting to get my guys some hairpins. I swear to God. Like, I think that is so cool when you're playing a game like that, and you just come across, you know, some random badass guy. And I hope they're, like, considerably harder, too. Just, like, I'm sure they will be.
Right.
You know?
I doubt they'll be boss hard.
Right. No, I don't think so, I don't know, it should be pretty damn cool. I think that'll be a nice little thing, because that also, when you have, like, these named creatures that you only see on occasion, definitely, again, helps that world come alive. Feels more like a real place.
The fact that there's so much side stuff is really nice, and the fact that it's a giant world, because I am so sick and tired of Japanese RPGs getting into this, like, hand-holding through a tunnel type gameplay. Like, anybody who played Final Fantasy X, it was literally tunnels. and you just walked from one end of the world, one end of the game to the other. And you just
right. You walked from one movie from CG sequence to the end to the next. I swear to God. And this is my problem with Final Fantasy games. Now, you've told me there is going to be lots of CG here.
Plenty.
But if there's plenty of gameplay, I'm okay with that.
Right.
But if every time I go to fight some creature and I want to cast, you know, Ice 4, I have to watch an 18-minute clip of that, well, I'm going to fucking be pissed.
Usually you can either switch all that to short.
Not always.
Right.
But not always, though, which is what I'm afraid of. And that's not even my biggest problem. I mean, you kind of get over that. You know, you get used to doing other things. I've played plenty of games where I've played two games at the same time when shit like that happens. Usually on a Game Boy or something, seriously.
Right.
It's usually like Zelda or something. You can just kind of pause and set down.
Right.
Because it drives me insane. So, I don't know. It sounds fantastic. So far, this game sounds badass. Now, how do you play this with a single character? You don't. That was a concern of mine. Mm-hmm. I thought you'd have one dude running around. Because I don't want... Okay, what I want... Ubisoft, listen up.
I am talking to Ubisoft. Give me a single player Might and Magic RPG where I can have a party. Thank you. Good night.
Okay, I like RPGs, particularly if I have a party.
Right.
Okay? And I haven't had a good one of those in a while. I want to be able to make my party from scratch. None of this fucking you go along and find these five dudes, or you start out with this party, or select from our pre-made group. No. Fuck yourself. I'm making my party, okay? And I love doing that in games, and it's been way too long since I've gotten to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very upset about that. In fact, I'm upset about Dark Messiah.
Really?
Because it's single player. I mean, single character, I mean. Not single player. It's single character. And I'm upset.
It's also a lot more of a fantasy action game.
Right, yeah. It's like a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
But they're also not calling it Might and Magic 10.
Right.
So I'm okay. I'm okay with that. That's like hope that they're going to release a proper Might and Magic 10.
I almost think they have to.
I hope they will.
In fact, they probably haven't yet because it's the biggest and would take the longest.
Just so they know, I've been trying like fuck for the last week to get my Magic 7 or 8 to run, and I can't get it. I'm trying so bad just to get my fix, and I can't do it. But anyway, you get a party in this game.
Right.
And how the hell are you going to play a 3D game where you have full control of the camera with, what do they call it, like live-action battles or some crap like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's no, like, weight and active, like in the previous, you know, Final Fantasy games. I don't know if it was like from 7 and on they didn't do it, but like before that, when you would start to be able, do you want active battle or weight battle, you know? And if you picked weight, you could like pick a dude, pick your move, it would wait, then you could pick another dude, and there was no like real-time fight there.
Mm-hmm.
With the active system, it kind of sped combat up a little bit because you had to be kind of quick on your moves, and you had like your little initiative bar, then you had to wait for those things, and it was way cool.
Mm-hmm. And some of them have had choosing. Like, I think 9 might have.
Okay.
And I know 10 was just wait.
Oh, really?
Like, there wasn't even...
That's pretty lame. So, they have... But anyway, the way you control your dudes in this, though, you don't have multiple controllers or anything in your funky-ass menu system.
Mm-hmm.
You have something called the Gambit system. Now, obviously, you have your menus there to set this up, but almost all of your combat, you've already set up.
Can. You don't even have to use the Gambits.
Wow. You can actually play it if you want just using the menu all the time.
I'm told that you could sit there and pause and fucking make every single move.
Wow. That's kind of cool, though, for those that want that. That's kind of cool. But this Gambit system is like scripting your character.
Right.
You want to go into detail on this a bit?
Well, of what we know, basically you have things called Gambits, and they are basically, like he said, AI scripts. And so, but you don't just have them all, you have to earn them. And so,
what?
I read something somewhere about buying gambits or earning gambits or something.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So you get, like, more advanced ones or something.
Really? Wow. Okay, I didn't know that. I really thought it would just be, like, at 40%, this character casts Kiraga.
Right.
If fighting more than two enemies, this character casts Iska.
And that is kind of what it is.
Or whatever. Right, it is, but I didn't think you had to buy them. I thought you just said it.
No, I'm pretty sure I read somewhere that at least the more advanced ones need to be earned.
Wow, okay.
And so you get to decide what level of automation your characters, including Van,
right,
have. And so you can make it so that, like, everybody always auto-attacks and the auto heal and this and that, and you decide, I want to take care of these moves, you guys automatically do this stuff.
Right.
Because you're always going to have to auto-attack, so everybody just auto-attack.
Right.
You're always going to have to heal when somebody gets to 40%.
It sounds
just
like
do that.
They may have done, like, a good system of the, Fantasia game system. Tales of. Yeah,
right.
That's what I meant. You know, like the Tales series has that. But it's, like, four things. It's all, use
right.
magic, use attack. You know, I mean, it's fairly limited,
it's,
you know.
It's, do you want us to be aggressive or defensive?
Right.
Or?
So that can be pretty interesting to see how well that's put together, though.
And you could decide just how automated it is.
Right. I mean, you could, yeah, like he's, like, yeah, you can have Van do it. So essentially, my lazy ass could kick back and play this game with my left hand and just have him walk in front of an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And get up to a, you know, a dude.
As long as you were good enough at setting up the game.
Right, yeah. And I imagine a huge part of that's going to be setting that up. You know, I mean, I'm going to spend hours trying to make him not be stupid, you know.
Right.
They should have, like, sliders, like intelligence. It's like, you have your guy currently set to PS2B. You know, and like you work your way up to JP Onre, you know. That'd be awesome. So, let's see, what else about this was pretty interesting? I liked the whole full control of the thing, the camera, the combat, totally, like, can be automated. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The skill system. From everything I can tell, the skill system is like a tree, a skill tree, it sounds like.
Are we talking the license thing?
Yes.
Okay.
The license board. It's like a skill tree system, right? Your characters all have, every single one of them, the same tree, though. And I guess in Final Fantasy X, you had different skills for different dudes.
Right.
Which limited your guys.
Well, it was one big board, but everybody started in different places.
Oh, okay. So it was hard to get to the other side to
right.
have them be whatever. I see. Apparently in this one, everybody has the same thing. So you can make whatever character whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I can tell, the only thing that differentiates them, really, is they're well, they all kind of look like girls, I'm sure. But,
their model.
The character model and that the mist knack, the limit break thing.
Oh, right.
So we have to mention those two things, and I think we've covered just about everything that we do know about this game. Now, the license board, I guess you buy licenses with essentially experience. It sounds like it's basically experience. You do a combat, they give you probably experience. And probably points.
Right, like the one movie that I showed C4, they killed something and they got 15 experience points and one license point.
Oh, okay. Okay, so then using those license points, you get to buy, like, the license to use something for your character.
White
like,
magic level 1.
Right, there you go. You
and
know.
So now you are able to use Cure 1 and
no, Dio.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's essentially how it's going to work, which is pretty cool. I like that at least you can tailor your guys to how you want. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That should be pretty neat. And you have to buy these licenses to use, I mean, everything, though. You know, equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, like, strap on, like, full
sword.
Play. You have to, right, you have to know how to use a sword. You can't just use...
Well, you have to, like, basically tell the government that you're going to use a sword.
Right, yeah. It's weird that they use the word license.
Well, but that's just kind of how the game that Ivalice came from was. It's actually the world of Final Fantasy Tactics.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
You had the judges, and like you'd be in a certain world, and you can't use ice here. If you use ice here, you go to jail.
Oh, whoa, okay. So that does make a lot of sense then. Okay.
But, yeah, that's why they called it license.
Okay. Now, you can also use these for stats, though. So, I mean, it's not just using an item. You can get yourself, like, weird stuff, you know, like if you want, like you were saying earlier, +2 to strength or whatever, bam,
right.
Put that point there. So it's essentially just how you straighten your character out and, you know, customize and tailor them.
Which is nice because they were trying to do something like that with the sphere board in Final Fantasy X.
Right.
But it was useless. I mean, you just followed a path. It was a circle that
you
couldn't really go anywhere, so it was just like...
Like that whole game was linear, huh?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's pretty lame. Now, the limit breaks in this, which, as far as we can fucking find, they're called mist knacks, K-N-A-C-K-S,
mm-hmm.
mist, M-Y-S-T, that's like the magic.
Like knickknacks.
You know, yeah, what the fuck. So, and basically, it's like, you explained it to me, like, because I flat out asked, I said, what the fuck, I'm reading it, trying to figure out what this thing is, and I look over and I go, Kobor, what is a limit break? And he, are you serious? Like I like really didn't think I had no idea. I don't know.
For anybody that doesn't know, a limit break in Final Fantasy is basically a weapon skill from Final Fantasy XI.
Which is like a special move.
Right, you gain TP.
Right.
It's just a gauge. They didn't call it TP.
Right.
But it's just a gauge that fills up as you attack or as you get hit or whatever.
And, depending on how you either have it set or what you are, or how they have it worked.
You're able to choose from a list of special skills, and then you use all your...
Now, and that's the only real character-specific thing out of this.
Right.
That and the model and this, it really sounds like
so
that's
if you
it,
have,
you know.
If you have a character that has a Mist Knack that uses melee weapon, you're going to want to make
that sound so gay. Just like the way that rolled off your tongue so naturally.
Yeah.
You know, I mean...
Oh, well.
And the worst part is I know I'm going to wind up playing it because this does sound like the first Final Fantasy that's going to be... I mean, I'm not counting 11. That's an online game. That's an MMO.
That should have been FFO.
Right, exactly.
This should have been Final Fantasy 11.
Absolutely. So I figure this is going to be the one that's like if I think they ended their greatness at 6, this might be like the revolution. You know, the return to greatness for them, you know, possibly in my eyes.
They have a long, hard road if they're going to make it better than 6, though.
Oh, yeah, they have their work cut out for them. I don't think they can do it.
But
I think it's going to be a good game, not better than 6.
They're getting 9.9s and 10s across the board in Japan.
Oh, my
like,
God.
Like, every review I have seen is 9.9 or 10.
How unusual is that for a Final Fantasy game, though? These people eat, sleep, breathe. They have Final Fantasy underwear.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if I can really put much faith in that, but that sounds pretty cool. You can also... Oh, wait, okay. So as far as the limit breaks go, these Mist Knack things, you have... Each character has their own, like, mana bar. And basically, when you want to use your, like, weapon skill, this special ability you have, it works like a weapon skill in Final Fantasy XI. You say, okay, do that skill, and let's say it's like, you know, he thrusts his sword forward, and it's got, like, a fire attribute to it, right?
Mm.
Well, then you have your next dude do something that has, you know, some other kind of weird, funky attribute, and... You get, like, a chain together, and it does, you know, like a special effect. And when used against an enemy's weak point, it'll cause massive damage. For instance, against an enemy crab. I thought that was funny, but I guess not as funny as I thought. So, but anyway, what I'm saying is you can get pretty detailed with that, you know, where you have to build your, like, chain of moves, and you create some, like, bigger damage item
right out
of it, which is pretty cool. Also... For the Chocobo fans and those of you who can't pronounce Chocobo, they're rentable. Like, you get to rent Chocobos.
Like in Final Fantasy XI.
Mm-hmm. And see, I can keep saying Chocobo and not stumble over it, too. So get your Chocobo on in Final Fantasy XII because it looks pretty fun.
Yes, it does.
Let's hope it's good. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to say about that. We're running... We got about 6 minutes.
Well, we got about 6 minutes of content, so...
Yeah. Total. And we stretch it out to an hour and a half. That's amazing. Now,
God, we're good.
Let's talk. let's jump the one that's good.
Okay,
so Hollow Man 2. I watched this movie. I've seen it on the shelves for a while now. And the only reason I really rented this was because I saw that it was constantly rented out for the last number of weeks, like since it came out, and I was just blown away. Like, this movie must be fat. Now, I do not remember seeing the first one. I can't remember it at all. Like, I probably never saw it.
Right.
I probably did, but I probably didn't, because I do not remember seeing it at all. And so when I rented Hollow Man 2 and sat down to watch this, you notice right off the bat that the invisible guy, it's about this guy who's invisible. You don't know how he got invisible, like, right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
But within the first 10 minutes, they do a pretty good job of giving you an idea of what's happening, but not how it happened.
Right.
So you start out, and he doesn't give a shit that anybody really knows he's invisible, it seems like. Like, he walks into, like, when it starts out, he walks into, like, a party full of hella people and just starts, like, fucking with this one guy. It's, like, dragging him across the floor, but it's obvious he's being dragged and, like, all kinds of shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, he winds up talking with the guy, more of, like, you know, beating the information out of the guy about where he can get this, like, magic serum kind of thing, you know? Basically, to save his life. So right off the bat, you know this guy's in trouble. And so you think to yourself, well, this guy, this poor guy, he's invisible and got fucked.
Right.
He needs the serum. So it's like you kind of feel bad right off the bat. You also notice he kind of sounds like, he sounds like a guy who's trying to sound like Christian Slater. Like, he keeps saying things that Christian Slater would say,
mm-hmm.
but, like, trying to ensure they sound like Christian Slater.
Right.
Which, I did not think he was in this movie. I really didn't. And that's one of the major flaws with this movie. It seemed like he was overacting, like he was trying to compensate for not being visible.
Right.
You know, it really...
Since he was, like, behind a microphone the
whole
movie.
Whole time, right. I mean, he is in that movie visually for, like, maybe a total, maybe a 5 minutes. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the ending sequence is, like, seconds, and then at some point they do show you what happened
like
in the
flashback.
Past. Right, exactly. And that's it. That's all. And I was floored when I saw that he was in it. And I swear to God, I thought I was watching clips from the first one. I was so, like okay, in the middle of the movie when they showed you the flashback,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking they pulled the video from the first one. Because whoever they got second-rate actor for this second one is not him. He's just trying to sound like him.
Right.
And,
although Christian Slater wasn't in the first one.
Right, which I didn't know at the time either. I never saw the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I only rented it because it was just gone all the time. I thought, this movie must be fantastic. So, of course, there's some chick. She's the hot scientist chick, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So now he's got to go get her because she has the magic serum to get him to live longer because he's dying. You find out that, you know, he's dying and whatever. So,
cellular
of course,
structure's breaking down.
He's some kind of a radiation thing because light passes through him, so it's like ripping up his body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's
right,
got all kinds of radiation and cancers and shit. So, like, of course, you know, the scientist chick can't defend herself. So you have to throw in the hero, the cop guy,
mm-hmm.
right? So now you have this other character now who obviously digs on the scientist chick and tries to save her life through the whole thing while this guy is trying to get the serum or whatever to keep him alive. What they call the buffer is what they call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it had some really decent action. Now, if the action, because like the government rolls in, because it turns out, and well, I don't want to blow it, because apparently, I really thought it was like a direct continuation of the second one, but this almost seems like it's a whole separate movie.
Right, it sounds like it.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it has nothing at all to do with the first one. It just happens to be based on the same idea, I guess. So, I'm trying to figure out how to not blow too much of it, because it was pretty decent for a rental price. Like, I watched the whole thing, and I was pretty into it, and like I said, it had some pretty good action. If he was visible, the action would have sucked, I think. But because, you know, he was invisible, the action was pretty interesting, I thought. However, you don't deal with anything except, like about him. You know, like, I would love to see a movie where the guy's, like, sneaking into the women's shower and whatnot. You know what I mean? Like, that's going to happen. You're going to do that kind of thing. Just do it. But they don't. They just show him as, like, this. I can't tell. He's like, oh, God, I'm dying. I just want to live. But then they kind of show him as, like, a victim,
mm-hmm.
you know, at some point where they do the flashback. But then he's a monster and a bad guy.
Right.
So it's like, man, I don't know what to feel about this guy. You know, I was torn. I was like, oh, I can't tell who the good guy and the bad guy is. I don't feel that bad for him, but I don't think he's that bad of a guy. He's
mm-hmm.
just trying not to die. The people he's essentially killing are the people that either fucked him or are trying to kill him.
Right.
How does that make him a bad guy? I don't think it does, but he's totally painted as the bad guy. And so it's just like, man, you know, I don't know. It was just like, they should have narrowed it down with the character development a little bit better and all. And Christian Slater's acting, his voice acting was horrible. It's like he couldn't do his own voice. It was like he was way overcompensating. It was fucking nuts. So give it a 4 out of 8.75.
That's not
bad. We got like a minute.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, if you wanted to say something about that, go ahead and make it quick. Because what we have left to talk about is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Okay. Go ahead.
We got the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles trailer. And this actually did look pretty cool because it was done right.
Yeah, this looks good.
Because it looks like, at least at this point, to be completely a CGI movie.
Yeah, which will be so awesome.
A lot better than this, like,
dudes in a
1980s
thing.
Animatronic suit.
Remember the guy that was Shredder thing. In the first one? He's in that suit and all that shit walking around. Oh, it was terrible.
And it was okay for the day.
Yeah, it was. It was. In fact, I was looking forward the other day to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, it got in my head. I wanted to watch it, and I was looking around. I can't find it around here. I thought I have it.
But
I know I do.
The turtles and whatnot will be able to, like, actually act like ninjas.
Yeah.
Because they're not in 300-pound suits.
Exactly. This is going to be sweet. And the trailer actually, like, shows the animation and how well they're done.
Yeah,
and then
it's like
still
zooming across
is funny.
Fucking, yeah.
You know, like, it still shows they're going to have that great sense of humor.
Like, I think it was Donatello, like, falls into the...
Michelangelo.
Oh, is it Michelangelo?
Michelangelo, yeah.
He, like, falls into the
yeah, dumpster when they jump off the roof. Oh, man, I want to see this so bad. Like, I'm afraid to say that the theater's going to be packed with kids.
Yeah, it will.
But I'm going to be there. You know what I mean? I'm going to be like, yeah, Ninja Turtles for the win. And then I wanted to say, this at this point looks better. Now, I'm a bigger Transformers fan than I am Ninja Turtles.
I am, too.
But at this point, I would so much rather see the Ninja Turtles movie than Transformers.
In their defense, they just got the voice of Optimus Prime.
Right.
after the trailer. So, right. I mean, they didn't have anything to show.
But it's supposed to come out when?
Like next year.
Right. And so Ninja Turtles is March of 2007. Mm-hmm. And this one's, I think it's June 2007, I think. So it's 3 month difference. And they have nothing to show for it, really. And it looks like at least they have the models down. They've got some of the city down. We know what we're looking at here. Over there on the Transformers land, we have a cool logo and a bad shot of the moon and some guy with a finger puppet. You know, it's probably a cardboard cutout of fucking...
They just showed it in the light.
Yeah. No shit. The I am not. Yeah, totally. Oh, my God. All I can say is Soundwave better be in that movie.
Yeah.
Soundwave absolutely better be in that movie.
I'm not so sure how overly popular he was.
He's the fucking man.
Well, to you.
Yeah. You're damn straight. Soundwave is the bomb. We can't have just, like, Optimus Prime and, like, Ultra Magnus, you know? We can't just have... And Bumblebee and those fucking douchebags. We gotta have Starscream...
Right.
Megatron.
Well, I'm sure Megatron.
I'm sure. I hope. You never know. They drop the ball on a lot of movies where they're like, oh, we don't need to bring out the big guns just yet. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. In any case, I don't know what the hell we're doing for next week, actually. So,
we'll find out.
Yeah, you'll find out when we find out. Coming soon. I'm sorry.